Ziklong Feliva, OFM, your good morning breakfast, Matrots Mwentlichemok, their NutriFeeds. And following our conversation with Lara Rousseau, and where she mentioned she was the first to arrive at quite a severe head-on collision, and she had no clue what to do. I think this is one of the most important conversations we can have. Ek weet nie Margaret, maar ek beskik nie oor die inligting van die moets en moenies rondom wat om te doen in so 'n geval.
Nee, mens dink altyd jy doen totdat jy in daai situasie is, dan besef jy hoe min weet jy eintlik.
Absoluut. That's why this morning we are joined by John Glover, Advanced Life Support Paramedic from Life EMS, en so ook Herman Groenewald, Intermediate Life Support Medic with more than 23 years of experience. Gents, firstly, John, kom ons begin sommer by jou. Wat is die moets en moenies waar dit kom by wat om te doen as jy die eerste persoon op 'n toneel is van 'n ongeluk?
Let's start with the beginning. Stay calm and get your bearings. Take a moment, breathe and try and assess what's going on. Are there any dangers, fire, leaking fuel, traffic? Make sure it's safe before you approach anyone. If it isn't, don't take unnecessary risks. Do make the area safe if you can. Park your car to shield the accident from oncoming traffic. Switch on your hazard lights. If you have one, place an emergency triangle far enough from the scene to warn others. Call for help immediately. Dial emergency services and give them your exact location. What happened? How many people are injured? And what you see. Comfort and reassure the injured. If someone is awake, talk to them. Tell them the help is on the way and they shouldn't feel abandoned. And then direct first responders. Once emergency services arrive, direct them to the exact spot. Explain what you saw and you did. And pass along any useful info like changes in a person's condition or their medical issue if you found it.
Nou, John, jy het nou twee goedjies genoem daar, so jy weet, eerstens, bly kalm. Nummer twee, wat as jy jouself bevind in 'n area wat nie oor selfoonsein beskik nie?
Okay, so let's say you're in a remote area and your phone has zero signal. The common belief is that dialing 112 always works, but this isn't true if you're completely out of GSM or cellular range. The emergency number 112 does work on any available GSM network, but you need cell coverage. And then if you travel to remote areas regularly, consider getting a satellite communicator, which lets you send emergency SOS even when your phone fails. Another practical thing is what we do is to assess what's going on the accident scene. And then travel. There's no other way for you to get communication or relay the information. You'll have to leave the scene to a point where you can communicate with other people and relay the information. Then you can always return back to it.
Yesterday, John Glover, Advanced Life Support Paramedic, on, you know, the do's and don'ts when it comes to being a first respondent on a scene. Maar so ook, die ander ding wat jy genoem het, is maak seker die area is veilig. Nou, wat as jy brandstof oral sien, en jy sien rook uit karre uitkom, is daar 'n moontlikheid dat hierdie kar kan ontplof?
No, smoke and steam are usually interchanged. People mistake steam that comes out the radiator of the engine to be smoke, or their airbags that deploy also release a chemical or a smoke. So that's a misconception that the car might explode. It's really that we've seen it, and usually when the fire starts, it starts from the beginning.
Okay, en dan, jy weet, as dit die geval is dat die kar wel aan die brand is, jy weet, ons sien baie nuwe voertuie wat klaar met 'n brandblusser afgelever word. So wat 'n brandblusser moet jy in jou kar hê in die geval van 'n brand in jou voertuig?
Okay, so let's say a 1 kilogram or 1.5 kilogram dry chemical or ABC type fire extinguisher is effective against most car fires. And then usually put it within quick reach, especially in your boot.
You know, this is actually such a, I don't know, bone chilling thought. I mean, we all drive on the roads.
We do, every single day.
Single day, you spend time on a road behind the wheel of your car. En hierdie is 'n moontlikheid en 'n risiko ook wat enigiemand kan teekom. So Herman dan ook, jy weet, ons het nou gepraat oor wat jy moet doen, maar wat is dit wat jy nie moet doen?
Yes, so we should just keep in account that we should not put ourselves into danger. You won't be helpful at all. So don't move the injured unless there is real immediate danger, as John said, like fire. Don't give them food or something to drink, and don't remove helmets from the riders unless there is issues that you need to remove that. What we also say to the crowd, there's always a crowd in the scene, is that we need to have control. So there should be always be control there. And then what we do ask the public, do not take photos or videos. I mean, you want to see everything, but you want to show everyone that, and I don't think it's quite fair. If you're going to take photos and videos, you want to get so close as possible, and that is actually causing a risk as well.
Maar, excuse, Herman, is it nie, jy weet, in die geval waar jy alleen op het toneel opdaag, en jy is die eerste persoon daar, en jy is in contact met, kom ons sê, paramedic, soos Herman. Is dit nie dan, jy weet, word foto's en video's nie dan eintlik aangemoedig om daai persoon by te staan sodat hy die nodige ondersteuning kan bied totdat jy daar aankom nie?
To answer, I'm not sure if it's directed to the video and photos to say what's wrong with the patient, to give someone more indication, but yeah, we don't really advise that on those scenes. Yeah.
As ons hierdie puntsgewys net kan deurgaan. Eerste ding wat jy doen, as jy die eerste persoon op het toneel is van een ongeluk, wat is dit?
Take a moment, breathe and assess what's going on. Try and make it safe. Call for help immediately and call the right person. We want to talk to you and get as much detail from you from the scene as we can, so we can know who and what resources we can dedicate to that scene. Try and comfort and reassure the patient. If you do know first aid, apply what you know up until what you know. And then when first responders get on scene, try and make way or direct them to where you see the patients.
And then when it comes to the don'ts?
So with the don'ts is actually just the main important thing is just don't get injured. If you want to stop and try to assist, do it in a safe and proper way. Don't put yourself in that situation where it might be a sad story for one person and then you're the next sad story after that trying to help. So the main important thing is just don't try to put yourself into danger.
How do I share my location if I don't know where I am? Very often I'm driving along and I'm 40 k's more or less from so-and-so, but I don't really know where I am. How do I know where I am?
So when you're traveling, know where you are and how to communicate, as it says, precious minutes on the South African highways. Look for route marker boards. You will see that alongside, it's small blue signs with route numbers, sections, kilometer positions, and the direction. So it will normally say N or S, north or south, and then you give this info to the dispatcher when you get cell reception. If you're not on a major road, you can describe the landmarks, bridges, intersections, farm gate numbers, distance from towns. You can use compass points. I know some of the newer phones, you can get GPS coordinates, and then in rural areas, just mention visible terrains and features.
Yeah. And then, you know what, wrapping up our conversation, this is all with regards to what to do if we come across an accident. There's always the risk of being involved in an accident. Okay, so you're driving along with all the information on you, but no one can access it. Is there a manier wat jylle hierdie inlichting kan access?
Yeah, so most of the phones actually has a medical ID feature on. So when the phone is locked, is that without unlocking it, you can go into medical detail. So there is a, in case of emergency, option on phones and medical information on phones, which they can use and set up for the in the situation of an emergency where we can access that. And then the information is usually accessed from that lock screen. So we can access that, and that helps us to actually treat the patient to see, are they allergic for anything? Is there relatives that we need to phone? Getting more information from them. So it is possible, but otherwise, if we can't access any other information, then we will rely on the information that the SAPS can give us.
En so loop ons allemaal met goedkies wat, jy weet, baie belangrijk is vir nooddienste, wat die verskil kan wees tussen lewe en dood. So, once again, I suggest you take your phone, it's available for Apple and Android, go look at that medical ID, upload the necessary information, and make sure that, you know what, in case of the unthinkable, that paramedics can actually access your information and that you can be treated accordingly. But hey, I think now we know the do's and don'ts with regards to, you know, what to do when we come across an accident. But gents, thank you so much. John, Herman, ons waardeer julle tyd, ons waardeer die insig, en dankie dat julle ons allemaal 'n bietjie wyser gemaak het op hierdie donderdagoggend.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.